Why Black Friday really lived up to its name. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to this Monday edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, Vice Chairman, good friend, and fellow analyst, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to be with you. Are you sure that really wasn't Black and Blue Friday?
Well, yeah, we're going to get into that today because what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are like me and who refuse to leave the house the day after Thanksgiving, not just because there's football games on or because you're recovering from all the tryptophanes and the turkey, but because it's the day of national madness is what I like to call it. Black Friday. Now, why do we call the day after Thanksgiving Black Friday? Well, it's the day when most retail stores in the country expect to have their Christmas sales push them into the black economically. In other words, they get out of the red ink and into the black ink by having a healthy Christmas sales, which helps drive their year-end projection targets for their sales and their profits. So it's been dubbed Black Friday because of that. But honestly, Chuck, you're right. It should be dubbed Black and Blue Friday. Because invariably, every year, you hear stories, and each year these stories seem to be getting more and more extreme, wilder, the more that you look at it and you just worry about the direction our culture is going. Now, I want to start this by saying that to the retailers, last week's Black Friday was great. They loved it. They believe that early estimates show that 6.6 increase in sales to a record 11.4 billion with a B, billion dollars was sold on Black Friday, just on one day, $11.4 billion, an increase of 6.6% in their sales, and the traffic at stores rose 5.1%. Now, if you think about that versus the year, that means there were a lot of stores with a lot of people in them. And usually when you get a lot of people in an enclosed space and they're all in competition with each other, because oftentimes there's a limited quantity of items, sometimes, well, as you know, Chuck, the basic nature of man is not that we have better angels in us.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because one woman who said that she was doing exactly that, competitive shopping, used pepper spray to gain a shopping advantage. And unfortunately, they don't have the little guys with the black and white striped shirts in the shopping centers to help keep the shopping rules in order. So this was to get a cheap Xbox. Now, really, how desperate do you have to be to save $50 on an Xbox to pepper spray everybody else in line to incapacitate them so that they can't rush to the display and get one before they're all gone?
Yeah, let's set this up for folks. If you haven't heard this already, and this has been a pretty popular news item over the weekend, this happened in Los Angeles, California. And before you can say, it can't happen in my backyard, hold on, because I've got one a little bit later that did happen in my backyard, and I want to tell you about it. But this was in L.A., and as Chuck said, they were all in there. And Friday, you know, bright and early in the morning, and I'm on Facebook, and you can find me at Barry Sheets. Be careful, there's about four different Barry Sheets in Ohio, so look at the one who is the owner and consultant of Principal Policy Consulting if you want to friend me on Facebook. But on my Facebook page, I was getting feeds from a number of my friends. Hey, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up, and I'm standing in line at this whatever retail store it would be, whether it be a Best Buy or Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever it has to be, people taking photos. Hey, here's the line at 5:05 in the morning, and there's 40 people standing in the checkout line. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the reason I don't do this kind of stuff myself personally. I'd rather be setting up at a tree stand in the deer woods at 5:05 in the morning waiting on a big buck to come in. But that's just me. But out in L.A., this woman who the police have now actually arrested, because she finally surrendered on Friday night after, I guess, the media went out with this and she realized that they probably had her face on video and they'd be coming to find her anyway. So it was about time she turned herself in. She did. In a crowd of people, the store brings out this pallet full of these Xbox contraptions. And you know, I'm showing my age, Chuck. I'm not into this tech stuff. I've got younger kids, but I don't let them do this kind of stuff. No Xboxes, no PlayStations, nothing of that nature. But people think, you know, this is how they live. Now, maybe she was getting it for one of her kids because she had promised her children this and she needed to keep her promises. Or maybe it was this, as many do, they go and get these deals and they cut in there and they buy them up. And then they turn around and try to resell them either directly to other individuals or through things like Craigslist or eBay or other places in order to try to make some money for the holidays. But this woman took it a little too far because when they brought this pallet of these boxes out, from my understanding in the news reports, as soon as they cut the plastic off the boxes, she opens up with pepper spray to everybody around her. And I believe it was over 20 people who was doused with pepper spray. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been doused with pepper spray, pray that you never get doused with pepper spray because it's a very unpleasant thing to do, especially if you're standing in Walmart, which is where this happened. This was a Walmart in Los Angeles, and she basically opened up this can of pepper spray on people all the way around her. Basically, then she grabbed a console, went up to the register, bought it, paid for it, and left. As the fire department was coming in to start treating people who had been hit with this chemical spray, including, and this wasn't in the original information, but I just got an update here. She also there were children in that crowd that she sprayed with pepper spray. Now, I think that's some priorities out of order. And I think the Bible talks about that. I think that's talking about being covetous, and covetousness is that, you know, somebody else has got something and I want it, and I want it badly enough that I will do things that are immoral and unethical in order to get it, like spraying people and attacking people with pepper spray. Well, basically, they said that the woman could be charged with battery because of that, because there was, you know, there was no physical touching, so I guess assault's out, but she can be charged with counts, and it'd be at least 20 counts of battery. But this is what happened, and this wasn't an isolated incident, Chuck. I mean, you talked about another one you'd heard of as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are any number to choose from, but the one that you and I had spoken about earlier was a fellow who, and I think this was also over an Xbox or some kind of game console, and there was a crowd, and there were actually teenagers and young adults who were rushing people who were not quite as big as they were or they thought they could take. And if these people had one of these game consoles in their hands, they were actually snatching them out of their hands, running to the checkout and paying for them and leaving. So essentially they were assaulting people in order to get these things. So what this fella did was he took one of these game consoles and tucked it up under his shirt. And immediately somebody went to a policeman and said that he was trying to shoplift this thing. Now, if you've ever seen one of these game console boxes, it's pretty obvious that he would be the world's worst shoplifter because everybody in the place would have seen that, you know, hey, buddy, what's that under your shirt? His clear goal was to protect the thing. But what happens is the police come, overreact, hook him around the leg, shove him to the ground, and basically beat his face into the floor and then arrest him. Now, this is in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, this was actually in, and I laugh about this, because it was in Buckeye, Arizona. I think just to tie it in, we're Ohio-based radio program. This happened in Buckeye, Arizona, and the gentleman's name was Gerald Newman, a 54-year-old man who had gone to the store to buy one of these consoles for his grandson, who happened to be with him at the time. So they were there together, grandfather and grandson. He's going to buy one of these games for his grandson to have for Christmas, or give it to him right then. Who knows? But supposedly, yeah, just like you said, somebody alerted the police, and then there was actually a uniformed officer. You talked about black and white stripes being there to affect the rules. Well, in this store, and I can't remember if this was Walmart or not. Yeah, it was a Walmart. So, you know, it's not what we're picking on Walmart today, but it just so happens that these things all happened there. And the police officer approached him and basically said, well, the guy wasn't resisting, and he was led away from the crowd by the police officer. Then all of a sudden, I mean, and this was coming from reports from eyewitnesses who were there, that as this police officer is walking this man away, all of a sudden he hooks his leg, grabs him, and slams him face first into the ground. I mean, hard enough that it busted open his face, and I guess there was a pool of blood on the floor. And then they tried and knocked him out. And basically then the officers are trying to revive him. And, you know, everybody around them is like, you know, what happened here? And so, Chuck, I mean, this is the kind of things. Now, I'm not necessarily sitting here to, you know, to point out all the issues with police, and sometimes, because sometimes people overreact. They're a little overzealous in their enforcement of the law.
Well, look, the police since 9/11 are becoming more and more and more paramilitary. There's just simply no denying that. And they're being given more and more and more training that is encouraging them to elicit fear rather than respect. And that's not a good sign. That's a sign that society is sliding towards a downfall. And what normally happens during that phase of a society's where the authorities become more and more violent, trying to get fear rather than respect, it builds resentment in the populace. And
this is definitely true.
Yes. And the populace begins to think in terms of, okay, it's time to start fighting back. So it becomes an ugly cycle. The police get less and less respect because they're acting less and less respectfully and less respect worthy. Now, this isn't all police, but there are a number out there that do things like this. They've just decided that they're going to use their training, and they do. And unfortunately, they're using it on people who are unarmed. This man, I think, was 55 years old. There aren't too many guys that are 55 years old that can put up a whole lot of resistance to the police, to a 35-year-old policeman, and not get their head cracked. And it doesn't, by all witness accounts, this guy was not doing anything other than trying to explain, you know, what he was doing. And then this cop just basically, okay, that's it. Whammo. And unfortunately, it's in Maricopa County. What does that tell you? A lot of people love Joe Arpaio. I'm not one of them, because his police tend to engage in this style of tactic.
Well, and for clarification's sake for our listeners, Joe Arpaio is the sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, and who's been fairly notorious over the history for things like dressing inmates in pink jumpsuits and working on chain gangs and things of that nature. So he's kind of built up a cult following, but you're probably right about that. But, you know, the one thing you mentioned here, and I was going to talk about this just for real quick. Here locally, close to me, within about 50 miles in Charleston, West Virginia, on Black Friday, we had a man who was 61 years old, who was shopping at midnight at a Target store. Well, he obviously had a medical condition because he dropped dead of a heart attack right in the middle of the floor in Target. Now, the big problem with this is we talk about a coarsening of society and the culture breaking down. People in that store, people would not stop to help this man. They drove their carts around his body on the floor or stepped over the top of him. Finally, one off-duty nurse and an off-duty EMT happened to see him laying in the floor and tried to administer resuscitation to him. But by the time they got him to the hospital, it was too late. He had passed away. But many people are left wondering what's happening to our society when people are so intent on getting the deal and the bargain on a temporal piece of merchandise that has no eternal purpose, but when their fellow human being is lying on the floor in obvious distress, they are just like those who passed by the Good Samaritan. They didn't want to be bothered with it because it might slow them down and they might miss the next good deal. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, sometimes you see the best and you see the worst when you have these special days like Black Friday. My thought is, and maybe yours is as well, Chuck, that we all need to take a moment and think where our priorities lie and whether or not we're not setting up covetousness and maybe a form of idolatry by thinking that these things are so important that it would lead to people, and there by the grace of God go you and I, ladies and gentlemen, who are willing to do things like spray people with pepper spray or grab things out of people's hands or go past somebody who's in obviously distress because of that material item. Now, we need to think about that because we gave thanks on Thursday. Possibly it's time for a little repentance on Black Friday.
We'll be with you again tomorrow at 5:30 on Principles and Policies. Please be with us.